Welcome to the Simple Gospel Church podcast, raising a generation that will stand for Christ.
Good evening, everyone. Just coming out of our seats. Good evening. Father, we thank you for bringing us here once again. We pray that as we go into your word, that you do what only you can do. Speak to us by yourself, so that we might learn more about you. Because that's the only reason why we are here, Lord, to learn more about you. And I pray that you do that, for it's in Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Good evening. Welcome to Ascend, the final part of this program. I told you in the morning that this evening we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, right? And the reason why we tagged it Ascend is because after Jesus died, he resurrected. And he did not just resurrect. After he resurrected, he ascended. He was taken up in the clouds. And we have to know why. So the question is, why didn't Jesus just, after he has resurrected, say, okay, I've resurrected, the job is done. Let me stay with you people. And let's just continue together. Well, if he decided to stay with them, we won't be Christians. Even if he has paid the price. Even if the door has been opened, even if the veil has been torn, and we can now come and become Christians, we won't be Christians if he stayed. He had to go. He had to go back. But he didn't go back without giving us something, specifically somebody. And today, we want to talk about that person, because I don't believe we talk about him enough. So we're going to go through this person's CV. In the book of John, because when they introduce someone to you, they'll tell you the person's name, tell you what the person is, and they'll tell you what the person is coming to do, Abby. So we're going to do the same today in the book of John, chapter 14. We'll start by the first introduction of him. John 14, from verse 15 to 18, just three verses. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father that he will give you another what? Helper, that he may come, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him, nor what? Knows him. But you know him, right? For he dwells with you, and will be where? In you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. That's a very interesting and very powerful statement. So I will not leave you what? Orphans. I will come to you. So the world cannot know this spirit. But you know him because he is coming to live where? Inside of you. That is the entire reason why they say, oh, we are born again. We are Christians. Someone comes to live where? Inside of you. And is introduced here as helper. That word helper in Greek means, it's a word called paraclete. It's from a word called parakletos. Don't memorize it, it's pointless. There are many words for it, let me not bore you. But there's a particular phrase that describes this word. So, another word for helper is counselor, advocate, intercessor. But those are words, right? There's a phrase that is used to describe this word and dates back to the original meaning of the word. And it means one who is called to stand beside or to stand alongside somebody. That's what that word means. Someone who is called to stand what? Beside or alongside. It was used in ancient times in a legal system. So you are in court. And you are going to defend yourself. And then somebody comes to what? To stand beside you. And that person usually has more power and influence than what? Than you. Because if you can stand on your own, will you be there with the person? No. So let me give you an example that you might be able to relate with. How many years ago was this one? A while ago, over 10 years ago now, I was in Benin. In school with an old friend. But it was one of those holidays when I didn't come home. So I was just in Benin. My friend was a medical student at the time, and he had a car. And so we're in the car, and we're just driving, and Benin police stopped us. I don't know about now, but if you think Lagos police is aggressive, they are not. Benin police is a different ballgame. Because Lagos police, you people can still hassle 10, 15 minutes. You both know you are going to money, but you are just deceiving yourself. Just talking useless talk. Then it will end in anything for the boys. Benin police is not like that. They might have changed, I don't know, but I doubt it. Anyway, so they stopped us. My laptop was in the car. His laptop was in the car. Okay, you people are what? Yeah, Yahoo boys. It's all right. He said you must follow us to the station. And me, I was a bit worried. Well, you see, this my friend who was confident. And me, I was looking at him like, where is this your confidence coming from? Because me, I cannot call Lagos. I cannot call Lagos and tell daddy or mommy that, police has carried us. Anyway, but he was just confident. Police said, let's go. He said, oh yeah, let's be going. I said, okay. We got to the station. You know, police now, the first, they were just doing their own. He was just looking. He just made a phone call. Now, what you need to know about this, my friend, is that his mother is a lawyer. Right? And it's not just that his mom is a lawyer, but his mother is from Benin. And they have a house where? In Benin. So he just called his uncle. And when the police station, and he was very confident. And me, I was like, this thing sure must not get to Lagos. Because I don't have anything I want to say. This is the first time I'm telling you people. My parents are here. The uncle just came. And in 2-3 minutes, he just came, talked to them, settled everybody. We don't even know what he did. They just told us, carry your load and be what? And be going. That uncle is a what? Is a para what? Is a paraclete. One that came to stand what? Beside us. That has more power than what? Than us. And what gave him confidence is because he knows that what? He has family in Benin and he has influence. If he did not have that confidence, he would not drive to that station now. He would have been begging. But that day it looked like he was in the mood for trouble. He was bored. And me, I was saying, let's just go. He said, Billy, don't worry. I said, okay. I will trust you. So that's what that word means. It means someone that's called to stand beside. Now, if this is the original word of the Holy Spirit, his first introduction by Jesus in this book, it means that the system, because I told you it's a legal word, right? And in a law court, there's a system, right? So it means that this system of this world is rigged against the believer. True or false? That's what it means. It means that the system of the world is rigged against who? The believer. And the believer needs somebody to what? To stand with him. If not, the believer will not survive. That's actually what Jesus is communicating when he says, I will not leave you what? Orphans. He's telling you, you cannot defend yourself. You cannot protect what? Yourself. In this world, no, you can't. You cannot help yourself. You need somebody. And I am going. But don't worry. I'm not going to leave you orphans. And think about it. Throughout Jesus' life, he was defending the disciples up and down. Up until the point where they arrested him. That was his job. One time, they were walking through grains of wheat. And they plucked the ears of the grain. Pharisees came and said, you people are not supposed to walk on the Sabbath day. Your disciples are walking on the Sabbath day. What did Jesus do? He defended his disciples. Till the point of his arrest, he said, okay, I'm the one you want. Let this one's what? Go. And Jesus said, if I leave you, somebody else has to be there to what? To defend you, to stand by you. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. Because we cannot go through this life without him. We really cannot. And we should not deceive ourselves that we can. And as long as you are a Christian, you have him. There's no Christianity without him. If you say you're giving your life to Christ, it means he's already inside of you. That's what it means. But you might say to me, Pastor Billy, I don't hear him. He has never said anything to me in my life. And I'll tell you, it's not true. It's not what?
True.
And I'll prove it to you before I show you the other things you want to say. It's not true. It's probably because you are listening for the wrong things. Because the first area of your life that you'll be able to identify the Holy Spirit speaking to you is the things that concern God. What matters to who? To God. Some people, they are Christians, and when they are waiting to hear God is when they need a new job. That's when they want to hear His voice. Or they are waiting, oh, I want to get married. It's a milestone voice they want to hear. But in the everyday of their life, they don't even know when the Holy Spirit is speaking to them. But He speaks to us every day. In the things that matter to God, He speaks to us. Whether you pray in tongues or not, the gift of speaking in tongues is a different thing. And it's for everybody too. But He speaks to every believer. And let me tell you how you know. When you pray and you spend time with God and you do that wuru-wuru to the answer prayer in the morning, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you are gone. And something is telling you, you should have spent what? More time. Who has experienced that before? Everybody. Everybody has experienced it. Who is telling you you should have spent more time? Is it you? It's the Holy Spirit. Because you are engaging in an activity that matters to who? To God. Or you are reading your Bible and you just read. You say, okay, Pastor Billy said we must be reading our Bible. And the morning you just wake up and read 2-3 verses. And something just tells you, I just spent 15 minutes here, 30 minutes. Or don't rush it, just read it. Every Christian has that experience. Every Christian. Who is telling you that you are rushing? It's the Holy Spirit. So just in case you've never met Him before, that's Him. That's His job. That's the first way you identify Him. It is when you have learned to listen to Him on the things that matter to God, then as you grow, you start to recognize His voice on the things that you think matter to you. You do not just wake up one morning and say, oh, some people, the only thing they hear from God, they claim to hear, is their prosperity. Oh, God has said I should do this. God has said I should do that. Every single thing is about new this, new that. Oh, new money. This, nah. The Holy Spirit doesn't care about those things ultimately. He wants to bless you, but He wants you to be aligned with who? It's God. And that's His first job. His first job is to push you towards the things that matter to God. And when people tell me, I've never heard God, I'll tell you, you have not been listening. Because He speaks. He does. He speaks when it comes to the things that matter to Him. He speaks when He tells you, you should have been in church today. He speaks and tells you, you can try to come for Wednesday service. I'm not judging you, but... He speaks. When He tells you, you can try. You can try on Friday. It's just 1 hour. Who is telling you those things? It's not me. I'm not in your house. It's Him. Why? Because He wants you closer to Him. When you get closer to Him, you can hear the rest. But if you've not yet taken those steps to get more into the things that matter to God, then you will feel like you are living a life where the Holy Spirit is not there. And He is there. He's inside you. He's just waiting for you to actually listen to Him. Some people will say, oh, I've read this Bible front to back. I don't understand it. You've not spent enough time. You haven't. That's the truth. Open your Bible and before you read it, try it tomorrow, try it this night. Open your Bible. Before you read it, close your eyes and pray. And say, Holy Spirit, this man called Pastor Billy, he said that you are inside me. And he said that, don't quote me, but quote the Bible. Uh-huh. Because we'll read what his job is soon. Uh-huh. And say, Lord, I want to understand this Bible. As I open it and read it, you understand. You will what? Understand. It's practical. Go and try it. If it doesn't work, then this is not a good church. Change church. I'm serious. I can stake this church on it. Because it's not me that said it. Who said it? Him. But if you are waiting for him to say, God, green light, red light, if I'm supposed to take that job, somebody called me one time, years ago, and the person was telling me they want to start a business, and then they want to do a joint business venture with someone, and they've been praying about it, and they are not hearing anything, and they are confused and all that. And I told her, I said, so it's now. Because she's close to me. So you know, some people, we can't say that to them, they'll be offended. But she was close to me then. I said, so it's now that is this big decision that you now want to recognize the voice of God. You can't now. When you've not recognized his voice in the small things. Because it's experiential. You have to experience him. And you start from the things that matter to him. That's a practical thing. Every time I am downstairs, when anybody is coming down the stairs inside, I know who is coming. Because I know how everybody in this house walks. Why? Because I've lived with them for a while. Right? So I know how they walk. If it's JB, it's Tutu. As I come down the stairs, am I lying? No. Why? Will you be able to identify it? No. Because you've not lived with him. It's the same thing. When you experience someone for a while, you will know them. Even without seeing them. How can you not have experienced the Holy Spirit every day and recognize him in the little things and do what he says? When he pushes you to go and study, you study. When he says take some time to pray, you pray. Then it's now when you want to start business. And you're now praying to him. You're just deceiving yourself. Because even when he talks, you're not here. And if he says something you don't like, you say it's the devil. Abi? Yeah. And that's the truth. And so he's there. That's his job description. To stand where? Beside you. He's in you. But his own is in this law court of the world. Where the Bible says the world lies in what? Wickedness. He's inside you so that the wickedness does not get what? Does not get you. But it starts from what matters to God. Let's look at other descriptions of him. This same John. Are we together? Okay. John chapter 16, from verse 5 to 15. It says, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where am I going? Where are you going, rather? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I what? I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will come to the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is what? Is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said to you, he will take of mine and declare it to you. Amen. There are two major things I want to speak to you about today. Two jobs that he has. The job of conviction and the job of truth. Because we can talk about the Holy Spirit till next month. Because the entire Bible speaks about him. But I want to talk about these two things. Conviction and what? And truth. He said he's coming to convict the world of what? Of sin. Of righteousness. And of judgment. Why is he doing that? Because Jesus is gone. And if the Holy Spirit does not do that, this world will be worse than it is now. In fact, when you read the book of 2 Thessalonians, you will see that the primary person that is stopping the age of the Antichrist is who? It's the Holy Spirit. It's because he's still here. Once the rapture is done and the saints go, he's going with them. And then that job of conviction ends. And once that ends, the world is in what? Chaos. The Holy Spirit is here to convict the world. It's the same job that Jesus did in Israel. But Jesus did it on a small scale because he was limited. He was in this human body. And you see that the Jerusalem, Israel, they did not like him. Because everywhere he went, he would convict people of sin. Those are people that have unbelief. When there's righteousness anywhere, Jesus would be the one to stand for it. And everywhere he went, the Satan was what? Was judged. And Jesus said, well, I'm going. Somebody else has to do that job. That's the only thing that can bring sanity to this world. And if the Holy Spirit is inside you, trust me, he will use you to do those things. What does that mean? Some people will not like you. Because unfortunately, if you are truly following God, you will not be able to stand for sin. If you are truly following him, not just about signing, ticking Christian on your form. You're truly following him. You won't be able to stand for sin. It will not be something that you try to fake or form. It will be something that will flow what? Out of you. If the Holy Spirit is walking through you. I've had relationships in my life that now they are talking to me, but for a while they were not talking to me. And when I asked them, okay, what did I do to you? The person said to me, you just made me feel like I was a sinner. I said, what did I say? Did I ever say anything to you? The person said, no, it's just how you were. So what did I actually do? May I know that I didn't do anything. What happened? It's just you're living your own life. Sometimes that's all that it is. But sometimes you also have to what? You have to speak. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in the world today. He's still convicting people of sin because they have refused to what? To believe in him. And he's still convicting the world of righteousness because Jesus has gone to his Father. He is the only one here to do what? To do that job. And so where there's righteousness, the Holy Spirit will stand for it and say, this is right. Why are we complaining about the nations of the world today? It's because the church has compromised, right? The church has failed the world. It's not the world that failed the church. It's the other way around. The church failed the world. Why? Because the Holy Spirit dwells in men. And he dwells in us so that we can be beacons of righteousness. But you see, when people have collected money in their pockets and they now refuse to stand for what is right, and there is nothing convicting the world of righteousness, everything goes to chaos. So why is this nation in this state? It's because it's our fault. It may not be your own fault though. Like, I'm not saying it's you. But I don't know, Sha. It depends on how you do your office. Maybe you're part of the problem. But on a governmental scale, I'm not saying it's you, right? But I'm saying that we are all the body. Are we not all the body? We are the body of Christ. So it's our fault. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. And sin is the reproach to the people. And that's the Holy Spirit's job. It's very, very interesting how, in the name of freedom, the devil has been able to convince sinners that, oh, express yourself, live out your life, and that's what it means to be free. That's not freedom. That's anarchy. That's anarchy. And it is a Christian that rises up and says, no, things should not be this way. And once you say things should not be this way, they will say you are a bigot. True of us. They'll say there's something wrong with you. Say your own is too much. Simply because you are standing for what is right. What is objectively right. And that's the Spirit of God's job. Till tomorrow. How is Satan judged? It's through the work of the Holy Spirit. Every single person that receives healing is judgment to Satan. Do you know? Every single person that receives deliverance is judgment to who? To Satan. He's the ruler of this world. He's the one that currently has the keys. And everywhere you go and you destabilize what he is doing, you are reminding him of what will happen to him on the last what? On the last day. This is judgment. But we don't get to do that without the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of conviction. Those three things, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And He wants to walk through you. But you have to let Him. You have to get close to Him. And it starts by paying attention to the things that matter to God. Second thing I want to talk about today is Him being the Spirit of Truth. He's the Spirit of Truth. His job is to guide you into what? Into all what? Truth. You see the word guide. You know what a guide is? A guide does not force you. Have you ever gone to like this Lekki Conservation Center, a place where you have a guide? What's the guide's job? To gently nudge you in the right direction. So as you are on top of that bridge in Lekki Conservation Center, if you now say you want to jump, for example, the guide is not going to jump to save your life. Is he? No. He will tell you, don't what? Don't jump. This thing is not what? Not safe. I don't like going to all those places personally. When I went to Lumorog, they said, you pass one bridge. And I'll be telling you, nobody has ever fallen down from here before. I said, I don't want to be the first. Because there's nothing holding it. They think it's encouragement. But there's nothing new under the sun. Somebody can fall. But that's the job of a guide, right? So just what? Guide you. The Holy Spirit does not take truth and force feed you with it. He will just show you where what? Where it is. Now, if you choose to accept it, that's good. If you choose not to accept it, that's also what? It's on you. Now, there are three areas of truth that the Holy Spirit will usually guide you to. Three. Number one, the Holy Spirit will tell you the truth about God. About who? God. Because many of us, as we grow as Christians, we find out that the God that we have in our head is not the God of the Bible. Amen? And you have to have a proper understanding of who God actually is. Not who you think He is. Not who you want Him to be. Not who you wish He was. I had someone that used to tell me, hey, my relationship with God is like my relationship with my father. I said, no, it can't be. It's not possible. If you have a good father, God is better than your father. If you have a bad father, it's okay. God is also what? Better than your father. But God is not a God that spoils His children. The person was telling me, I negotiate with the way I negotiate with my dad. I said, the God I know is not a what? He's not a negotiator. He doesn't tell you to do it like this, then you now say, no, like God, let's try. So when the person was telling me negotiate, I said, me, this God you are describing to me is not what? It's not my own God. Because it's not God of the Bible. So that's the first thing the Holy Spirit will do. He will show you the proper picture of who God is. Because if you know who God is, your life is on the way to being set. Because when things happen, you are able to interpret it based on who God is. There are people that if you hear the reason why they walked away from church or walked away from God, it makes me so sad. Because I know that the root of the problem is they thought that God was going to do things in a certain way. And then it did not meet their expectation. And so instead of checking themselves, what did they do? They started complaining, oh God, this Christianity, it doesn't make sense. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, I'm going to find out. And they went. So that's the first truth. He'll tell you who God is. Second truth He'll lead you to. A truth about who you are. You. Because scripture tells us that the hair on our hair is what? It's numbered. I remember that scripture anytime I go to the barber. Because it always fascinates me. Because then as they are cutting the hairs, I'm like, so this thing is numbered like this. So everything that fell on the ground, God knows how many there are. If God knows how many strands are there, and He knows everything about it, can I really say I know myself? Can you really say you know yourself? No, you don't. You don't know yourself. Because you didn't make yourself. And so that's the second truth that the Holy Spirit will tell you. He will show you who you are. The Bible says the word of God is like a mirror. And when they say it's like a mirror, is it every time you look in the mirror and you like what you see? It's a question. But it's the reality, right? Yeah. Some days you like it, some days you don't like it. But you have to take it. Because if you don't take it, you won't what? You won't change. And the Spirit of God, He will show you who you what? Who you are. Who God has made you to be, He will let you know. And His truth, He will show you your current state. That's His job. He won't lie to you. One of the founding fathers of the evangelical faith in Britain, I think Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he said something in his book on Ephesians. He said, Christianity is the most realistic belief system on earth because it shows you who you really what, who you really are. It doesn't mince words with you. Christianity will tell you, this is who you are without God. It is terrible. It is the worst. Others will tell you, there's still some goodness. Eh? Man is what? Man is fine somehow. We just need a little help for us to become who we are supposed to be. Christianity doesn't tell you that. Christianity will tell you, you are nothing. You are trash. You are the worst. You are worse than dog poo-poo. That's what Christianity will tell you. Without Jesus, that's who you are. And it's good that you accept it. Because it's only by accepting that you can find true what? True freedom. So that when you embrace Jesus, you don't embrace Him like you're just helping Him. You embrace Him and you don't let Him go. Because you know that if you let Him go, where are you going back to? The dustbin. And Christianity will tell you that is it. It's the most realistic belief system on earth. That's why people don't like it. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. He tells you the truth about who you are. Who you are without God. Who you are in Christ. What God wants to make you as a person. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to you as you walk with Him. That's the second level of truth. The third one is He will tell you the truth about the devil. About who? The devil. The greatest victory that the devil has in this our generation is he has deceived a huge chunk of us to believing he doesn't exist. Then believe he exists. He has deceived some of those ones to believe that he does not exercise any influence as long as you have given your life to Christ. And somehow, all the scriptures, watch and pray, be vigilant, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. People do not pretend like see if all those scriptures are not in the same Bible. Oh, I've given my life to Christ, it's fine. The same Bible says we are not ignorant of what? His devices. Meaning that the devil has a way he moves. But he has somehow convinced us that it's just harmless. The devil is not harmless. So. The Holy Spirit will tell you the truth about the devil. The Holy Spirit will not put fear in you about the devil. You're not supposed to be afraid of him. But you need to be careful about your life so you don't give him a gap. All he needs is what? Say gap. He doesn't need much. All he needs is a small gap. A tiny gap. I shared a story here a couple of times of a friend in school whose brother had a very terrible experience. Who, in his first year, his brother, a girl that was his friend, was basically engaged in a sexual situation with somebody else. And this thing broke this young man, because this young man caught them. And the young man's older brother is a Christian. And rather than wrap his hand around his brother, when he saw his brother, and take him, and counsel him, and talk to him, and probably even if he has not given his life to Christ yet, but he was still going to church, do what? lead him to Jesus. Use that moment of weakness as an opportunity to witness to his brother. He left his brother. Do you know the people that converted his brother? The same boys that he caught in the act. They were the ones that now gave him a reorientation of this is how life is. Women, they are nothing. And that older brother, when he was telling me that story in the car, was almost crying. Because he just felt like he missed what? An opportunity. And now the older brother is a serious believer. The younger brother is just doing anyhow. And the younger brother is the talented one. This boy plays guitar, plays drums, plays keyboard, draws art. The devil is very, very... He knows who he wants, so he knows. And when this guy is displaying all these talents, and he's a doctor on top of it, and I look at him sometimes and I say, if this boy was a Christian, God would have really, what? I've done some things with him. You think the devil did not know? And the devil knew too. And you say the devil is not. All he needs is what? It's a gap. A gap might be a lapse of concentration. A gap might be you being not being sensitive to what? To something you're supposed to be sensitive to. The Holy Spirit is there to tell you about Satan. If David had the Holy Spirit, the Bathsheba situation will not happen. It won't happen. As soon as he climbs that roof, he'll say, well, I'll go downstairs. You're supposed to be at war. Why are you at home? Yeah, go and join your soldiers. He will tell him. In the Old Testament, he wasn't living inside them. It just comes upon them when they need to do something. And once they have finished their assignment, he what? He lifts. It won't have happened. You'll have told him, David, go downstairs. Don't go there. Close your eyes, it's too far. You will have gotten downstairs. It's the truth. So see how privileged you are. We are privileged, though, that you can get warning. This is what the devil is about to do. Don't do it this way. Don't do it that way. That's the third category of truth. He will tell you the truth about Satan. And you need these truths. The truth about God, the truth about yourself, the truth about the devil. If you don't have it, you won't survive. In this world, you won't survive. You won't survive in your office. You won't survive in your school. You will not survive in any social place. Because the system is rigged against what? Against you. Jesus gave a wonderful parable about the unfaithful steward in the book of Luke. And he talked about how the unfaithful steward, he was owing his master, right? And he couldn't pay his master back. And his master was about to punish him. What the unfaithful steward do? He went to do 419. He falsified documents. That's what he did. He went and he told those that were owing the master, oh, you owe him 100. Okay, write 50 there. Oh, you owe him this. Oh, yeah, write 60 there. And he went around and did that and came back to the master. And the Bible says the master commended him. And that is a bit confusing to you. Because why is the master commending him? That parable, Jesus is telling them about the systems of the world. Essentially, what the Bible is saying, what Jesus is saying is that if you live your life that way, the system of this world will favor who? You. But if you continue reading, that's when he ended by saying you cannot serve God and what? And mammon. Teaching them that you can't live that way though. But if you choose to live that way, the system of this world will favor what? To favor you. Is it not favoring them today? When I was in uni, I was scammed until I came home and they recessed my brain. I was scammed by who? By the purpose, find your purpose. There's no problem with purpose-driven life as a book. It's the way it was taught here. You find your purpose. And I remember I went to camp. And Philadelphia came to camp to address us, Christians, because that time it was really, his campus was stirring. People did not know his political ambition that time. Anyway, he came to camp and he was teaching and teaching. They gave him a slot. All of us youths gathered in the camp. And I remember that day I was sitting with one of my friends and he was writing furiously. And I was just thinking to myself, but there's no Bible in what this man is saying. even then, oh, to show you that this sense was there small then, I was like, there's no Bible in what this man is saying. Just motivating us for like 2 hours plus in church. People were writing, and everybody came back from that camp in school, gingered, all the instrumentalists, so we're going to be great musicians, all of us at the same time. Just deceiving ourselves. Why? Because there's no truth in what he's saying. There's no truth. And we need to hear some truth. The Holy Spirit is the only one. It was a very terrible time. They deceived us. And we ate it raw. And we came out of school and realized that life was different. And people started calling me and started asking me, how about the music? I said, which part? Oh, God. The music is coming, but now it's coming at the right, in the right way. Eh? Because that's what leads people to kill themselves. Literally, ambition kills. Because they will now feel in church. I'm sorry if you respect these people. I'm not saying the truth, or I don't know how to say the truth. 80% of all that time, too, they packed. They don't used to pack a good book into Nigeria. Let me just say it here, too. Miles Monroe book packed it. Read it inside. The Bible is like 5% on most of the books. That's if it's there at all. But what? They're bringing logical things. And then, when you now start to read about the New Age movement in the world, the New Age movement essentially is just a belief system that glorifies man and says man is something. You now start to see the similarities between what they are saying and what is inside these books. And they pack it in bulk to church. Good book they will not bring to this country. Good book analyzing the Bible, they will not give it to us. They'll be packing all those ones when you read it, no Bible. So I had a friend in school then, and now, till now, I'm still praying for him. We're in fellowship together. We ate up all these things raw. He was my roommate. And he was even combining it with 7 laws of power. I'll be how many laws of power? It's 48 laws of power. I don't know. He should have stacked all of them. You see his library in our room. My library is not as big as his one. Stacked full of all these books. Where is he today? It doesn't work. We need truth. Say, tell someone, I need truth. It's truth you need. And the only person that can give it is the Holy Spirit. Please, let's pray. Let's stand up and pray. So what I'm talking to you about today is beyond church. Honestly. It's beyond. I can't do it for you. I can only point you in the right direction. It's something you have to do for yourself. I've told you the first way to hear the Spirit of God's voice. Which means that tonight, if you get home and decide to open your Bible and read, you will see that the Holy Spirit is there with you. When you wake up tomorrow morning to pray, you will see that you might pray for 5-10 minutes the way you were doing it before, and he will tell you, go back. The Holy Spirit does not fight with us. If you don't listen to him once, you start to hear him less. That's what happens. Your sensitivity to his voice reduces the more you disobey him. And the more you obey him, your sensitivity to his voice what increases. You get to recognize him more. So I want you to pray this evening and say, oh Lord, in all the ways I have not listened to your Spirit, forgive me this evening. Open your mouth and pray this prayer of forgiveness. It's a prayer of, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. It's a person. Tell him, oh Lord, in all those ways that I have ignored your voice, when you have told me to do something and I did not listen, when you've told me to stay to pray more and I did not listen to you, when you told me to stay and read my Bible more and I did not listen to you, when you told me to do these things and I did not listen to you, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I want to hear your voice clearly. I want to hear you speak to me clearly. Have mercy on my soul, O God. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Open your mouth. Pray. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I want to listen to you, Lord. I want to hear your voice. Oh Lord, help me. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me. Help me. Help me. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to open your mouth and say, Oh Lord, Spirit of truth, I am ready to hear you. Speak to me. Speak to me tonight. Speak to me tomorrow. Speak to me all the days of my life. I will listen to you. Open your mouth and pray. Lord, I will listen to you. Lord, I will listen to you. I will listen to you when you speak. I will listen. When you speak, I will listen when you speak, O Lord. Lord, I will listen. Help me to listen to you. As a raskarabus kotoshe berebiskete, vodaba shagaraba riskerebus kotoshe baraba, evaraba riskerebus kotoshe baraba, evaraba riskerebashigere diskataza baraba, move a riskerebus kotoshe baraba, is a shanda garabus kotoshe baraba, meverebe riskerediskatesha barabanda garadaskara, jinda. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to, the Bible says that those that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. I want you to pray and say, Oh Lord, this is your word. I would love it more. Give me a desperation for this word. That I will eat this word. That it will to be a part of my soul. That it will be in my heart. So it can guide me and lead me. In Jesus' name. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Mazatapra haskatashe griskete berebova. Ivarabashin gere vaskatasha barabazi gere. Vridi riskede buskotosha barabazi gere. Ivrunda haskarabus kotosha bereskede. Ivarabashan the garabaza gara. Ivarabashan the garabaza gara. Ivarabashigarava riskede buskotosha. Ivrundubra riskede diskitesha. Ivrundubra riskede diskitesha. Ubraha Hiskere Diskitation, Evranda Bruho of Hiskerida, Evaraba Shigerebo Hiskerida, Evaraba Shigerebo Hiskerida, Avaraba Shugoruba Hiskere Diskite, Evrundu Gurubashi Hiskere, Evrundu Gurubashi Hiskere, Evranda Garabashi Hiskere, Evaraba Shugoruba Hiskere, Evaroba Shigereba Hiskere, Evranda Garaboskotosha Varabaskata, Evroskotomba Shagara Diskite, Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Oh Lord, we give you praise, oh Lord. Thank you for this Easter program we've had. Thank you for all the things that you have taught us, oh Lord. Once again, Lord, we celebrate your resurrection, oh Lord. We worship and exalt you. Thank you, Lord, because we know that you are with us. For it's in Jesus' name we have prayed.
Thank you for listening to this message. The Simple Gospel Church is a church arm of World Impact Ministries, dedicated to taking the gospel all over the world.